It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferrat. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, we'll talk to Gemma Tarlak from Discover Magazine about some of the most interesting stories in the world of science, including changes at a super volcano in Italy and how scientists are trying to interpret those changes.
First, residents of the east side of Madison experienced some extremely unusual weather over the weekend. On Saturday afternoon, a tornado touched down along one of the city's main roads. While some homes and businesses were damaged, there have been no reports of deaths or injuries.
Weather-wise, there's usually a few things we expect in a Wisconsin October: cooler temperatures, some frost here and there maybe, the occasional pre-Halloween snowfall. A tornado? Not so much. But just how uncommon was Saturday's tornado?
Jonathan Erdman joins us now. He's a senior meteorologist at weather.com, and he's based in Waukesha County. Jonathan, welcome back.
Well, it's a pleasure to talk to you.
Well, Jonathan, this seemed really strange. From a meteorological perspective, I can say that word. What happened? Why was there a tornado on a seemingly moderate, mild day in October?
Well, strange almost doesn't do it enough justice. Just to put it in perspective, going back in Wisconsin history, the tornadoes that we've been able to document going back to the mid-19th century, only 2% of those have occurred in October. You know, our typical peak times of year are June, followed by July, May, and August. So the fact that it happened in early October was strange enough. And then, frankly, many of the forecasts, including forecasts from NOAA Storm Prediction Center, the National Weather Service, and frankly, at weather.com and the Weather Channel, were not forecasting severe thunderstorms in southern Wisconsin on Saturday, but all it took was just one cell.
The severe weather alert on my phone actually went off. The sirens, as far as I heard, never sounded. It happened very suddenly. How are we doing with the state of prediction for tornadoes?
Well, Veronica, the tricky part about this particular case was that, in general, severe weather was not anticipated in southern Wisconsin. The setup was somewhat marginal to even get thunderstorms to form. And, in fact, the storm that spawned the Madison tornado didn't produce any lightning. So it was technically a shower. So these particular cases like this, unfortunately, on occasion, do go undetected by the National Weather Service, partially because it's a day where you're not expecting those kind of severe thunderstorms, and secondly, because the signatures on radar in this particular case were so subtle, you know, as opposed to a classic supercell in Oklahoma that just has this massive rotation that you see on Doppler radar. The rotation with the Madison tornado was very, very subtle on a day where we weren't expecting severe weather to begin with. So it was a very difficult case to actually catch ahead of time. And, I guess I would say, in general, for the stronger tornadoes, say at EF2s and stronger, this Madison tornado was an EF0, but for the stronger tornadoes, the National Weather Service forecast is basically catch a good 90 to 95% of those. But this one was very subtle and very hard to detect in real time. And as a result, the warning did not occur before the tornado touched down.
You use the term EF0. What does that mean?
Well, it's based on a scale called the Enhanced Fujita Scale, which is an attempt to correlate the damage that a tornado produces to its tornado wind speeds. We can't measure tornado wind speeds directly because Doppler radars are fixed in a certain location and can't be driven right up to a tornado unless they're on a mobile Doppler radar for research. So what meteorologists try to do is they take this Enhanced Fujita scale and they look at the degree of the damage to trees, to buildings, and they try and match it up to what the tornado's wind speeds were. And in the case of the Madison tornado, it was an EF0 with estimated peak winds of 70 to 80 miles per hour. So we get a lot of EF0 tornadoes in the United States every year. They're the large majority of them, thank goodness. And this one was certainly on the weaker side, but of course it did produce quite a bit of damage.
And as you were saying, you know, we think of tornadoes as a summer phenomenon. This was not by any means common, but can tornadoes develop any time if the conditions are right?
You know, they really can. Of course, being as far north as we are here in the state of Wisconsin, we don't obviously see too many tornadoes, say, in November, December, or January for reasons that it's just too cold. There's Arctic air in place. But it's interesting, the last several years, we go back to, for instance, to January of 2008, we actually had an EF3 tornado down in Kenosha County.
Wow.
That because there was just enough warm and humid air, and there was cold air aloft, and there was enough shearing winds or changing winds in direction and speed with height, we did have several tornadoes on a January day in 2008. So it could happen any time of year if the conditions are right.
We're talking to Jonathan Erdman right now, a senior meteorologist at weather.com, talking about this weekend's unusual tornado for October, touchdown on Madison's east side and also in Sun Prairie. And Jonathan, walk us through those conditions again. What does it take to create a tornado? Is it warm air meets cool air?
Yeah, it's a combination of conditions. Typically, you want warm. Let's step back. Let's take the classic Wisconsin tornado day. And if you think of it in terms of it's hot, it's humid. I mean, you walk outside, temperatures are at least in the 80s, maybe 90s. There's a nice south to southwest wind. It just feels like you're walking into a hairdryer. It's that hot, it's humid. And in the upper levels of the atmosphere, then you have a strong jet stream that's punching over that warm and humid air mass. So it's bringing cool and dry air aloft. And so what that is that sets up an unstable atmosphere where you get rising air rather quickly, and you form supercell thunderstorms that then produce tornadoes. So that's the classic Wisconsin tornado day. And if we look back on Saturday, it wasn't in the 90s, obviously. Madison had a high of 76 degrees that day, but it was certainly humid with dew points generally in the low 60s, dew point is a measure of moisture in the air. So when you get into the 60s, it starts to feel humid, and really by October standards, that's pretty humid for southern Wisconsin in October. And you had a nice little jet stream disturbance that was coming across through the upper Midwest and pivoting into that warm and humid air, and it just set off this little north-south band of showers that one of those showers just happened to have spawned the Madison tornado.
It feels like it's been kind of a weird several months weather-wise. The summer seemed pretty wet, wetter than normal, and the fall has seemed warmer than normal, and then we have this tornado. Is there any indication that kind of weirdo tornadoes like this are becoming more common and out of season?
It's a tough call to make on the scale of Wisconsin, but you know, as I did mention earlier, 9 years ago we had a January tornado event that was the only three January tornadoes of record in the state of Wisconsin. That was just 9 years ago, and if we go back 7 years ago, right around Thanksgiving Day of 2010, we had three other tornadoes in Wisconsin. So, in general, the warmer. We can't correlate any individual tornado events with, say, a warming climate because the scales are just too small. A scale of a tornado is, a few city blocks or several miles versus the scale of climate change is, of course, on a global scale and occurring over years and decades. But in general, if we have a warming climate, we would expect the window of severe weather possibility to kind of inch its way toward the other parts of the calendar that you may not normally think of as severe weather days. So maybe a little bit later into the fall, maybe a little bit earlier into the spring. And on these weird occasions, we could get, as we did in 2008, we could get even a January or a November, even a December severe weather event in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. So, I think that's something that we can expect, going forward over the next several years in a general warming climate.
And in the extended forecast, any outlook for more turbulent weather like that?
Well, there is some good news, and by good news, we've been kind of in a drought in some parts of Wisconsin, especially the southeastern part of the state, which didn't get the rain that fell last weekend to an extent, say, in southwest and central Wisconsin. So we'll have some more rain and maybe a few thunderstorms going Tuesday into early Wednesday. And then we have another chance of some soaking rain, unfortunately, in time for the weekend. So it's kind of a mixed blessing. I know the farmers want to get their crops harvested, so that's not good news for them. But for those that have parched lawns in the far southeast Wisconsin, that's probably good news there. But for now, it doesn't look like a lot of severe weather, fortunately, is in play. But in general, it looks like we're going to have overall warmer than average weather, at least for the next week or two.
Jonathan, thanks a lot for talking today.
My pleasure.
Jonathan Erdman is a senior meteorologist at weather.com based in Waukesha County, joining us to talk about this weekend's unusual tornado that touched down on Madison's east side.